welcome Paul now to speak to us.
Thanks. Morning, everyone. Good to see you all. I'm glad you were agreeing with John earlier. I wish I was here next week to hear George speak about patience and all the things his wife has learnt over the years. I'll be away. It'd be worth coming just to see his reaction when I came last time he was speaking. Just before Easter. So this morning I'm speaking to you about peace. And like John said, we've been singing some stuff about peace and all what it's about. I want to read two verses to you this morning. One from about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other." And then in Philippians in chapter 4, he writes this from verse 6. Or from verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of God will be with you." You know, it's interesting, in Paul, in all of Paul's letters, he starts off with a greeting where he always says, peace. It's usually peace and grace, or grace and peace, but he always speaks peace as a blessing to the people that he's writing to. Because peace is an inheritance of the child of God. You know, in the world that we live in a world which has got a culture of fear. That's promoted by the media, and it's fed by bad news, and we get bad news too quickly, and people feed on bad news, and unfortunately bad news feeds on you because it begins to play and affect your mind. And it seems that not a week goes by without there is something to cause panic and trouble and fear and worry. It's whether it's financial crashes all around, or swine flu, you know, people panicking. There's more people killed on the roads than with swine flu. In fact, I met a guy the other day coming out of the doctor's. I said, "What have you been for?" He said, "I think I've got swine flu." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Well, I broke out in rashes." I said, "What did the doctor give you?" He says, "Ointment." I see the smirks. You'll be using them tomorrow. I know it. It could be a fear of another one of my jokes that you live in, you know. Give him peace, Lord. But it's all around. There's always something there that's out to breed fear and worry in individuals' lives. It's one thing or the other. It's not too long ago before it was bird flu, now pig flu. Now, and previous to that, it was mad cow disease. I mean, we're going to do the circle in a bit. We'll have pigeon something, or, I mean, it'd be, you know, ferret disease or something or other. And people move into a panic mode with it. I mean, I saw pictures of people walking round in masks, in case they get it. You know, and it's almost like a disease that the world puts on, that there's panic everywhere around. I get people saying to me, oh, you're not going to go overseas again, are you, with all this trouble? Terrorism. Now, you know, if you live by a rule of that, of allowing fear to control you, you'd never go out of your house. And then you'd be in fear of somebody breaking in and doing something. You know, it's just that, that's the sort of world we live in. Because the world actually works against, and the system of the world works against everybody's lives to bring fear, to control and influence. And fear is an uneasiness of the mind. It causes a trouble of the mind. It's it preys upon you because it says that a future evil is likely to come upon you. And yet it often does, doesn't. And yet fear is there all the time. Fear and worry are constantly coming to us throughout our lives. And it's a war that is set against the mind to trouble it. And we're brought up with it. And you see, I remember my granny saying to me, I'm sat out in the backyard and she's saying, don't sit on a cold step, son. You'll get piles. I've sat on hundreds of cold steps and I ain't ever had piles. I mean, where did he get it from? You know, don't go out with your hair wet. You'll catch your death. I mean, who thinks these things up? And it's almost like they throw fear onto people by crazy sayings that there's no backing for and nobody checks out. And we need to understand that when the Bible speaks about fear and the things that come upon us, it actually means an intimidation from adversaries to make you take flight, to run, or to panic. And that's what happens when you watch the news. You can think, is this going to be me? What if I'm in a crack? I was at a funeral the other day, and my hay fever was playing up a little bit, so I was coughing and spluttering. And as I sort of coughed and sneezed into my tissue, like you're supposed to do, I said, you know, I just don't know what it is. I said, I've never been the same since I got back from Mexico. You should have seen the looks I got, you know. Because people immediately... You haven't been to Mexico, have you? You see, it's that fear to make people panic and run away from things. And quite often, there's nothing there behind it. Because it's a mind game that causes worry and fear. And that's why the Bible speaks so much against it. In fact, Job, he says, all that I have feared has come upon me. So he must have lay in bed at night worrying and fearful of what disaster was going to come upon him to take away all his wealth and family. And you see, what it actually does is it gives the enemy a handle where he can start to work against you and your life, and he plays a mind game with it. Because fear actually gives him a handle upon you. Worry gives him a handle upon you. Because worry and fear are close partners. They work in cooperation. Worry pulls you in different directions. It distracts you. And it becomes your focus. And you hear people say, well, I'm worried sick. Well, it's understandable because worry does make you sick. In fact, doctors' reports are that if people could find a cure for worry, that a lot of ailments would be over. Why? And the only cure is not in the bottle, it's in the person. That's why the Bible speaks like this. Fear not, only believe. Do not fear, for I have overcome the world. God speaks throughout the Old Testament. Do not be afraid, do not fear. Right? Why does he say this? It's not to hype or psych them up. He's saying you don't have to be intimidated by unseen forces that are at work against you. You don't have to be intimidated by bad reports because I am with you. And you see, for the believer, that's the bottom line. Fear not, do not worry, Jesus said. Therefore, do not worry. And you might say, but Paul, it's easier said than done not to worry. And maybe you've come in this morning and you're a bit of a worry bag. You know, you worry about your worries. And if everything's cleared up and you've got nothing to worry about, you worry about the next thing that's going to come along. the call of Jesus in the midst of all this, because he knows how we are. Is come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'll give you a refreshment. I'll give you a refreshment from the beating up that you're giving yourself and that you're allowing to come upon you because of worry and fear. That's why God says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Why? Because you can have a confidence in the peace of God. And you see, when God speaks of that fruit of the Spirit, it's in the whole thing of peace is in God. Because he's the God of peace. The New Testament speaks of that. For the God of peace shall comfort you. That's his nature. All those, what we call the fruit of the Spirit, is the very nature of God. And it's displayed in Jesus. You can't see heaven worrying about things, can you? You don't see it in the life of Jesus. But he offers peace. Because the cure for the worry and the fear that comes upon us regularly is to know the peace of God. But peace is not a commodity that can be bought or learnt. It's not found in a place. You get people who go on holiday and they say, oh, I just love it here. It's so peaceful. And they chill out and then all the worries pop up and it destroys the peace of the place because they're worried sick there. It's not found in a place. Peace is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, when it's giving the description of God, wonderful counselor, mighty God, the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. What better person to get peace from than the Prince of Peace? On the internet yesterday, there was a whole article there, and it was the cure for anxiety, and it was doing a survey of what people were worried and anxious about. And they'd interviewed a few thousand people, and this guy was saying, well, you know, the cure in the end is meditation and yoga. And I'm thinking, no, you forgot it, mate. That doesn't get rid of worry or fear. It's Jesus, the Prince of Peace. When we meditate upon him, because biblical meditation is different from worldly meditation. Worldly meditation is empty your mind and float upstream. But biblical meditation is thinking on the Word of God, of allowing that to dwell within you and work. In Isaiah again, Isaiah makes a great declaration, and it's a promise of God. He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast upon you, O God. And that word steadfast means to be set, to be fixed upon. Right? To be besotted with, so that you're looking to him rather than the circumstance or situation. It was something David got to experience when he said, 1,000 might fall at my right hand and 10,000 at my left, but I will not fear, because you're with me. You'll keep me in perfect peace, because my mind is set upon you. And that's the promise of God. Recently I discovered a Jewish Bible where it translates it from the Jewish perspective. And the translation of that verse says this: a person whose desire rests on you, you preserve in perfect peace because he trusts in you. So where does peace come from? From trusting in him. Of saying, God, you are bigger. You are stronger. You see, that view of being fixed upon God, it sees God as bigger than the mountain that you face. It sees God as bigger and more powerful than the obstacles that come before you. But worry and fear, they present everything bigger than God and more powerful than the promises of God. And immediately I see it as a lie. You see, because I actually believe it is possible for us to live peaceful lives. To live a life where we are worry free. Because our minds are fixed upon him. You see, because God never puts something out there that is unattainable. He puts things before us that we can attain, but so often it's the discipline of the mind to fix our eyes upon Him. And if in our mind we see the worry and fear coming against us that presents things bigger than God and more powerful than His promises, we've lost. And the Bible's full of examples of it. Remember the spies, where God told them, the land is yours. Do not fear. Every place you put your foot will be yours. Inherit it. And the report came back. And 10 of the spies says, can't do it. The walls are up to the sky and there are giants and we're grasshoppers. Let's vote in a leader and let's go back to Egypt. 2 spies said, no, God is with us. He's promised it. But fear spread because of the majority report. And it caused the nation to wander for 40 years and die untimely. But the 2 that believed entered. And even at 85, Caleb was still saying, give me this hill. I'm going up there. Why? Because God has promised. And folks, we need to be people of confidence that when God has promised something, even in the midst of storm, we can trust in His word. Proverbs 14 and 30 says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. You see, the opposite is, it brings decay to the body. That's what worry does. That's why it brings sickness. And peace is an incredible thing because it's a gift from God, from His nature, into the life of the believer when you're born again by His Holy Spirit, that He brings peace with God, that we know that we're not in fear of judgment. John says that, because perfect love casts out fear, so I can live at peace because I've got peace with God through the blood of the Lamb. I remember the old hymn that used to say, peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. It's powerful. So I've got peace with God. I can have peace with others. I was visiting a very old friend the other day. She's in a nursing home in the other side of Rochdale. And she's not been well, but she's been an incredible, faithful believer. And she was saying that she, in this nursing home, she used to go downstairs into the lounge area, and some of the other old biddies used to come around and they would talk to her. And one day they were having a discussion and one of the ladies was saying, you know, I can't remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. So Kathleen says, well, would you like me to teach you to go through it again? So 2 or 3 of these old dears said, yes, please. So she went through the Lord's Prayer. And then it began a daily little gathering where they would pray the Lord's Prayer. And then she took them through the Creed, so they could learn the Apostles' Creed. And she was saying, no, it was just very simple. And she says, one day, I forget how old she is now. How old is she, Christy? Yeah, she must be getting on for 90. She's 6 stone, right? She's very frail. And she says, one day, I just stood up there, she said, and I said to them, you folks need to know Jesus. Right? And she gave them the gospel. And she says, 3 or 4 of them responded. She says, and I prayed with them. And she said, there was one lady there. She says, she was a nasty piece of work. She was always causing trouble in the home. She said, she said she must have been a real battle axe sort of type of person. And she says, but I noticed after she prayed this prayer, she changed. And one of the women that she was always arguing and falling out with, one day they got together and said, look, let's stop all this arguing and falling out. Let's just love each other, shall we? She said, and these 2 old dears were just hugging each other in this thing. And she said, a couple of days later, one of them died and went straight into glory. So she made a commitment, one day goes to glory. And you see, what happens is, it wasn't only that she'd got peace with God, but she'd got peace with other people. She wasn't at war anymore because of what Jesus had done. And you see, Jesus also, He brings you at peace with yourself. You can never see the Lord Jesus sort of panicking what to do, can you? Oh, I don't know what we're going to do today, fellas. Don't know how we're going to make ends meet. You know, I've seen in the Spirit, we're going to have 5,000 people to feed. And that's only the men. I don't know where we're going to get the grub from. I'm a panic. You see, even on the cross, there was no anxiety there. There was no sort of, well, I hope this works. I hope the Father raises me from the dead after 3 days and 3 nights, like he's promised, or I'm snuffed, you know. I mean, he didn't. It was, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Why? Because he lived and he died in peace. Because that's the nature of God. And you see, the very thing that Paul commands in Galatians is that these are ours. That we can actually, I don't have to be a victim of the world and its influences of worry and fear, but I can know the tangible presence of the peace of God that passes all understanding. You know, it's amazing, that was the first memory verse I ever memorized as a new believer back in 1972. And it's one that has stayed with me all those years. It saved my life at times because of the power of the Word of God. Peace. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind safe in Christ Jesus. See, Paul puts that, it's very important, because the attack is always on the mind. But the peace of God can keep your heart, the centre of your being, and your mind safe in Christ Jesus. Why? He will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is set, who's fixed upon you. That's what it's about. And that's why Jesus reminds his disciples, do not worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the things you have no control over. And he goes on and he says, don't worry, because you are more precious than flowers or birds to your Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And he knows all your needs. So don't worry. Be happy. So this morning, what's troubling you? Is it work? Is it money? Is it family problems? Is it the future? Is it somebody else that has been playing on your mind, waking you up, jarring you away, pulling you in different directions? You see, God requires a trust that's fixed upon him. And you see, it is a battle to get there. Well, that's why Paul says we need to be people who can take every thought captive. Because the attack is always on the mind. That's where it's been playing on my mind. Yeah, I get my mother saying that to me. What are you going to do? It's been playing on my mind. Well, she can't influence my life. I'm a big boy now, ma'am. You know? And it's almost like, you know, I've been lying awake wondering, what are you going to do for a house? I don't know, ma'am. Well, aren't you worried? Well, no. And it's like you're going against the trend of the world, because you're supposed to worry. Don't panic, Captain Mannering sort of thing, where you're running around in full of anxiety. But a mind that's fixed upon him, a mind that begins to discipline itself and say, God, yeah, I've got this problem, but you're bigger than it. I can't. You see, we've been ruined by the Beatles. They say, we can work it out. We've got to admit, there's some things we can't work out, because they're beyond our control. And there are some things we've got to understand. God doesn't want us to carry, but to leave them to him, because his way is perfect. But we want to have our finger on the pulse of everything, to be in control, masters of our own destiny. And God says, no. You're a disciple. You belong to me. You're own. Paul says this, you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. So if I'm not my own, I'm his responsibility. And sometimes the worry and the fear creeps in because we take the responsibility back to ourselves, rather than leaving with God the things that are God's to do. But the disciple looks and says, God, you're bigger and more able than the problem that I face. For it is a discipline, because constantly there will be things that will come in to agitate us. This week, while I was preparing for this, I got agitated. I know it's hard to believe, but I did. And I got agitated like this. I'm thinking, God, I've been back now for 7 months. I've not got a house. I'm still living in the flat. I've got no job as such. I don't know what to do. And then I thought, start doing it, Paul. So I did internet searches, Christian job opportunities. And I thought, forget that. And then I got another bright idea. The job seeker's allowance. So I went online. I'm thinking, well, maybe I can apply for that, because at least then I'll get some money. And then realise, I can't. Because, I mean, what am I going to do if I go in there? You know, what sort of a job are you looking for? Evangelist. Minister. Oh, yeah, we've got a load of those. You know, I mean, Marks and Spencers are looking for them all the time. And, you know, I was sort of taking things in. And then I suddenly got this flashback, because years ago, I got into a place where it was strange. We just didn't know what was happening. And so a friend of mine says, but if you want some work, I'll give you some work. And he'd got a factory unit doing this reclaimed UPVCs. And he used to get all the offcuts from plastic windows and all that. And he used to have this machine. And the job was basically, you were chucking these bits of UPVC in. And this machine was grinding it down into little pellets. It sucked it out of the back and dropped it into these huge sacks. And you've got ear defenders on. I was going in there at 7 o'clock with my flask and my butties. And you would start, and he says, for every ton you get, I'll give you 30 quid. So I'm going at it like crazy, you know, from like 7 in the morning till 7 at night to get a ton and a half, getting an Indian takeaway on the way home. You were covered in dust and everything. And I'm giving Christine the money and saying, well, at least you can go to Aldi now. And then the next day I'm back in there, and I'm going, and it's a brain dead job. You know, you could be, chucking the plastic, And I'm there. And I'm sort of firing it in. And God spoke to me in amongst all this noise. And he just said this. He says, Paul, what on earth are you doing? And I remember I'm in the middle of this, and I'm in this convent. I'm chucking this stuff in. And I said, you know, what does it look like, God? I'm earning some money. And then he just said this. Is this what I have called you for? That was it. End of conversation. My mate came in and he says, how's it going? I said, it's not. I says, I'll finish off the day. I says, but I'm not in tomorrow. I says, God just spoke to me. And so I finished off the day and that was it. And I said, what now, God? And then nothing. But it's like God brings you back into this place where you trust, where you've just got to, I will keep in perfect peace in whose mind is stayed upon you. So even in this week, you know, looking at things like that, the pressure, you know, I must have looked at more houses. That one evening, I went through a website looking at over 300 properties, ranging from the other side of Rochdale to Eccles, to Worsley, Little Hulton. We even had a drive around. We covered miles driving looking at houses. I'm sick of looking at houses. Every now and then, Christine calls me, and she says, come and have a look at this one. And I'm thinking, oh God, patience, I should come next week, you know. Give me patience to look at another house. I'm fed up of looking at dimensions. And yet, it's a pulling back in the midst of all that, while there's that tangible pressure and gnawing away. It's a pulling back of saying, God, I will choose to know your peace. This situation. And you know, as you turn your eyes off all, it's almost you turn your eyes off all what is stacked against you, or seemingly, and turn it to the Lord, you suddenly get a different perspective that, hey, God can turn all this to his advantage, because he can do things again and again. And as your mind fixes upon him, what happens is this. That you begin to recount the times in the past when you have seen and proved the faithfulness of God. And as God reminds you of those, it's almost like you begin to build a new foundation to stand upon as you recall the testimony of what God has done, because it's powerful. You're bringing it. You know, the children of Israel were told to take rocks out of the river and build a monument. And then they were told, when your children and their children's children come and say, what are these stones? You say, these are a memorial of when the Lord dried up the river in the flood. and we crossed over as on dry land. It's a memorial. And you know, when our eyes are fixed upon him, the Holy Spirit drags up those memorials of the things that God has done. And it gives us a confidence of, hey, you've done this, so you can deal with that. What was the confidence Caleb and Joshua had? Their confidence was, these walls are going to be nothing because we have seen what he's done with Egypt and as he's brought that power down. The other spies forgot that. But the two didn't. And what keeps us in peace is when we focus upon that, what God has gone and done for us. You see, God has not brought, you might be in the place of trouble and difficulties. You might feel as if there's worry and fear pressing in all around you. But know this, that God has not brought you this far. He has not rescued you from the river to drown you in the sea. He says, fear not, for I am with you. In Peter, Peter says this, you know the verse, 1 Peter 5 verse 7. He says, cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you. What a God who says, give me the things that are your cares. What's that saying? The cares are the things that are troubling your heart, that are worrying your mind, that are allowing fear to creep in. He says, give them to me, because I care for you. You can't carry them, but I can. That's why, you know, Paul again made reference to it a number of times when he says, have no anxiety. In other words, don't be worried about anything, but in everything, with prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that transcends human understanding will keep your heart and mind safe in Christ Jesus. You see, it's a tangible thing we can live in. It's not out there with the budgies. It's the reality of what God wants in the life of the believer. Because if the believer cannot walk in a place of peace, knowing that fruit of the Spirit, that attribute of God, what a hope is it for the world? Because they will see the evidence of peace in your life and my life. Because we're not shaken. Jesus makes a great declaration to his disciples in John chapter 14. He says, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but it's my peace. You know, in the Hebrew word shalom, a lot of people just interpret it as the absence of war and strife. But it's more. There's more in the Hebrew verbs in that whole thing that Jesus is communicating across to his disciples. It carries that sense of, I'm going to make restitution where there is deficiency. I'm going to restore to make whole and complete. So when he's saying, my peace, he's basically saying, my completeness that is without deficiency, I give to you. My completeness. That's why the Bible talks about putting on Christ. Because he said, my completeness that is without deficiency, I give to you. Not as the world gives it, because it's from me, the living, the perfect, the complete God, I give to you. No wonder Paul says, Christ in me is the hope of glory. You will be made complete. It carries that sense of safety with it. The safety that he brings from his completeness and his wholeness. But there's a cooperation. And the cooperation to know that peace is taking control of your thoughts and bringing them to God. You know what? The way I do it is this. You know, when it comes upon me to feel agitated or move into that panic mode, sometimes you can actually feel it like a wave that comes in against you. And we've got to understand that just as fear comes from an adversary, we need to understand that these things come from the enemy of our souls. Because he's basically wanting us to agree with him that we can't trust God. And yet if our mind is set upon him, we're saying, regardless of the circumstances, I can trust in my God. Because he's God. He's the Lord. So I need to take my thoughts captive. So when the anxiety comes in, I've got to say, God, this is what I'm thinking, but I know it's not true. So I've got to have an honesty with God and bring it to Him. God, I cannot see how this is going to work out, but I know You can. And even though I'm racking my brain, I don't want to, I want to know Your peace and to know the mind of Christ in this. So I'm bringing it to Him. And then I take hold of a verse. And sometimes I will just go through the Psalms until something in the Psalms hits my spirit that I can bring to God and pray the Psalm to the Father and say, God, this is how I'm feeling and this is what I need from You. So I allow then the Word of God to work within me by meditating upon it. I let my mind run loose on the Word of God because it stirs me up. The other thing to do in those times is to pray in the Spirit, to stir up that gift within you, rather than letting my mind run loose upon the negatives. I let it run loose upon the promises and the victories that I've won, because He's my God and He wants us to live at peace. The peace that transcends human understanding is available. It's a reality for us to live in. You know, when I read in church history of some of the saints of old, one of the things that the Romans couldn't understand was why the believers that were martyred had smiles on the faces. Why? It's because they knew the peace of God, even in the face of death. They said, God, You're bigger than death because You've conquered the grave. So where's Your sting? This ain't the end. You know, we're going to put You to death. Think about it. What they're doing, they're saying, I'm threatening you with heaven. You better do this or I'm going to send you to heaven. I mean, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? No wonder they died smiling, because they knew the peace of God that passes all understanding, transcends human understanding. I was reading one of the scriptures that I love to read, is that you know, what's called the priestly blessing in Numbers chapter 6 and 24, where it talks about the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace, etc. And again, I was looking in this Jewish Bible, which explains it. And let me close with this. This is what that. Let me read it to you in the English translation first. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Yeah, there it is again. Where does peace come from? From the God of all peace. But the Hebrew translation of that, it opens up the words, whereas our words are limited. And it says this: Yahweh, He who exists, will kneel before you presenting gifts, and will guard you with a hedge of protection. Yahweh, He who exists, will illuminate the wholeness of His being towards you, bringing order. And He will provide you with love, sustenance, and friendship. Yahweh, He who exists, will lift up the wholeness of His being and look upon you. And He will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. What a thing God says. All you need to be whole or complete. And that's what Jesus said when He said, My peace I give to you. From the fullness of My completeness, I will set in place all you need to be whole and complete. Worry and fear are robbers. They detract and take away from your life. But Yahweh, He who exists, from the completeness of His being, will set in place all you need to be whole and complete, because He's the God of peace. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You this day that when we read your word, it's not a book of things that are impossible for us to attain. But we see there the promise of our God and the gift that is available through Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Father, that the God of all peace brings that sense of wholeness and completeness in the midst of troubles. We thank you that your peace stops us from falling apart in a world that is decaying and perishing. But we thank you that your gift to us is that we should not fear, that we should not worry, but that we should cast our cares on you. We thank you this day that you are the God who cares for us, and that you have set everything in motion that we need to be whole and complete. So Father, would you help us this week through your Holy Spirit to know the peace of God that transcends understanding. When the attacks and the war comes upon our minds, to stir our hearts and bring trouble upon us, to present us with mountains, Father, would you pull our hearts back so that we can see the God who made the mountains, the God who holds the whole earth in the palm of his hand, that you are bigger and greater and more powerful than anything that we could ever possibly face. And we thank you for your promise that you're not only with us, but that you're in us. And we thank you that you've given us the promise that we can overcome the world because of our faith in you. So Father, cause us to have eyes that are fixed upon you, and to know that as our attention is upon you, you will keep us in perfect peace. So let your peace flow, Lord. Let the oil, as we sang before, the oil of peace pour over me. Pour over each one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.